guys for that time. That was beautiful. Oh yeah, kiddos and children's church, rock kids are dismissed. It looks like they already know the drill, so headed downstairs. So anyway, boy, still recovering a little bit from the flu that I got for Christmas, and so just not 100%. So hopefully you guys are all doing well or doing pretty well. I know there's been a lot of the bug going around different places, and so can pray or thank you for your continued prayers for my family and I. Kids are doing well. Teresa's pretty much okay, and I'm right there too. Just not quite recovered all the way yet. But either way, it is the season. It's the time of year when we get some things like that. As I said to open up with the announcements, it is truly a brand new year. I don't know why it seems like this last year went so fast, but it sure did. And again, brand new year. Last Sunday was New Year's Day. It's quite an odd time to be gathered together on such a monumental day as that. And I want to know, don't raise your hands and don't say out loud, but did you make some New Year's resolutions? Okay, don't answer out loud. Did you make some New Year's resolutions? It's very common to use the dawn of a new year to launch a new idea, a new vision for your life for this next coming year. I had someone share with me this last week that they really want to focus on their health this next year. And that's a good idea. All of us could use to really focus on our health and better health. And I like the idea they mentioned, kind of the mind, body, and soul idea. And I like that. I like that concept of a healthy mind and a healthy body leading to a healthy soul. Or maybe it's the other way around. A healthy soul helping to lead to a healthy body and then a healthy mind. And they certainly are all connected, aren't they? Our mind and our body and our soul. And of course, I'm the most interested in our souls that are eternal. But I do understand very well how they absolutely fit together. We need each. In fact, I'm sure you'd agree with me that it's vital that we have healthy bodies, healthy minds, and certainly healthy souls, a spiritual life. And our soul, of course, as I said, is the most important, but we do need each. Well, we're wrapping up today the sermon series about peace, this vision and this idea of peace, especially for this new year. During the holiday season and looking forward to 2023, having peace that was available for us. We learned way back that it was promised, the forthcoming Prince of Peace. We realized at Christmas we celebrated the birth of the coming Prince of Peace. He came, God incarnate, Emmanuel, truly God with us. We looked last week at how it is that we can preserve peace. We know it was promised to us, it was given to us through Jesus, and then we, by coming to God with our prayers and our concerns, and not worrying about anything, we're promised that the peace of God will be with us. Well, today we're going to continue to wrap this up with the idea of preserving peace in our lives, preserving peace and shalom, that Hebrew word for well-being and wholeness and completeness. It's available for all believers, for you and for I through Jesus, but it's dependent upon each of us coming to God with all of our cares and concerns, and then looking at life in this world through a positive lens. That's what we're going to be really diving into deeper today. But I want you to think about this idea and this what can seem as misunderstood or even mysterious concept of peace or shalom. I like that. More than just simply peace. Peace in our lives and peace in our relationships and peace all around us, but this wholeness and well-being and completeness definitely connected with our soul. And we'll learn today, our mind and our bodies are crucial in this bigger concept of having peace with God and peace in our soul that will last for all of eternity. So today, again, we're going to learn about the final element to preserving peace, if you will. We're in the book of Philippians, continuing in chapter 4, but today we're going to be in verses 8 and 9. Last week was 6 and 7, some of my just favorite verses. And if you don't mind writing in your Bibles, these are certainly ones to underline or highlight. I recommend even memorizing them, especially verses 6 and 7. So important. But boy, verses 8 and 9, also crucial to our lives. And hopefully today the Spirit will speak to you as He has to me throughout this week as I studied this passage and prayed through this idea and how it is that, boy, it's really, really up to us. And how it is that we view so many different things. So we pick up today the Apostle Paul wrapping up this very famous letter to the church in Philippi that he loved and was so joyful and thankful for their love and support for him throughout his ministry while he's in prison. And he was just really writing to thank and encourage the church. And here as he wrapped this letter up, he was encouraging folks within the church that were maybe disagreeing about things to get along, to find joy in everything they do, to rejoice always, and then to not worry about anything, but in everything through prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let those requests be made known to God. And as we learned last week, that then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. So now we pick up in these next couple verses, verse 8 and 9, as the Apostle Paul writes to us. He says, "Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, and if there is any moral excellence, and if there is anything praiseworthy, dwell on these things. Do what you have learned and received and heard from me and seen in me, and the God of peace will be with you." Pray with me. Most gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day and the chance to gather in this beautiful church where we can celebrate you and the victory that we have in Jesus. And Lord, I thank you for your word and for this message that you have given to me and laid on my heart. And Lord, I pray that you take it, your truth, and you speak through me this morning boldly and clearly. And Lord, I ask you to open up each of our hearts and our minds to better understand who you are and what you've done, what's available for us, and how it is that we can love and serve you more. It's in Jesus' name we pray all this. And the whole church said, amen. So how about this for some alliteration? Are you ready? Today we're going to learn about a predictable pattern to ponder and practice to preserve peace. How's that one? A predictable pattern to ponder and practice to preserve peace. Aplenty. All right, total health. The idea of a new year, we want better health. All of us could benefit from better health, better mind, body, and soul, the whole package, finding peace in every area of our lives. Now, this idea is not new. I've been around for generations upon generations, and it's vital. We understand that. Vital to be healthy in so many different areas. And man, don't we want and desire peace? We touched on it a little bit last week, talked a little bit about this idea of peace. For us at least, for me, and I'm sure for some of you, it's like this idea of maybe in the future, maybe when my kids grow up, or my grandkids grow up, or maybe when I get a raise, or whatever, maybe then I'll be able to have some peace finally, and be able to enjoy life and just relax. The concept of shalom is like foreign or mysterious. Yes, we believe in it, but it's so hard to grasp a hold of and to live within. We learned it's a gift from God, love, joy, peace. And then all the other fruit of the Spirit, it's a gift from God. But it's up to us to come to Him with those cares and concerns that are robbing peace from us, and then allow Him and His peace to overwhelm each of us. We learned last week that the heart and mind are absolute battlegrounds, that God's peace will guard, like Roman soldiers, guard our hearts and minds. And then this peace of God will overwhelm us. It's greater than we can ever imagine. But the point was that our hearts and minds are so crucial. They're part of that equation, and God's peace guards our hearts and our minds. They're so important, and we are learning today that to have a healthy soul, we need healthy mind and healthy body. We need all these things to work together and fit together. And sadly, you and I all know folks, some folks that struggle so much in this area. They tend to look at everything that's wrong with their family, their life, or their church, or their neighborhood, or the world, or whatever, politics, and they just think that if they could vote different or things would change, suddenly all their cares would be removed. And that negativity or pessimism, it's such a slippery slope. Once folks start down that, it's like a snowball. It just starts to roll and build, and things don't go well. Health deteriorates, and outlook on life goes down. Nothing works well when pessimism and negativity are ruling and reigning in someone's life and in their hearts. Boy, once that slope is started down, that ball starts rolling, it's hard to stop it and hard to reverse it. Today we're learning a biblical answer to this dilemma that maybe all of us struggle with to some degree, how we can ponder and put into practice, how our minds are so important, and then our body, our actions are equally important. Think about this way, kind of that idea of garbage in. Boy, we feel bad. It's garbage that comes out. When we feast on the beautiful, perfect word of God, then beauty and love and joy overflow from us. Look back at verse 8 with me as Paul reminds us, he's wrapping all this up. Finally, final words from someone are always so important. And he's speaking to the church, to believers, born again followers of Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters. I love this. Oh, my word. Talk about a New Year's resolution. Let this just sink in. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable. And Paul has this way of saying, if there is, when he means because there is. So because of all the moral excellence and because of everything that is praiseworthy in life, dwell on these things. Think about, dwell, fill your mind with these things, these positive things. Oh, my word, what a change we would see in our lives, in our church, in our community, and in the world if we focused on positive things, good things, things that are right and true and lovely. I understand, boy, today it's out of fashion, isn't it? The news sells negativity and bad news. Boy, the sky is falling. The sky is falling. I guess people like to hear that. It's out of fashion to be positive and focus on good things. Well, here's the answer, this predictable pattern to ponder for you and I to fill our minds with and allow that to then overflow into our hearts. And then out of our hearts comes our actions and everything, boy, that we do. Paul says, brothers and sisters, dwell on these different things. Whatever is true. Boy, the truth, isn't that a mysterious word today? Maybe harder and harder to understand what really is true these days. Well, I want you to know some absolute truths. One is that Satan is a liar. He is the father of all lies. The Bible teaches that there is absolutely no truth in him. Then the opposite of Satan is our God, and the truth is absolutely found in God. In fact, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. God is truth. Jesus says, God is the truth. The Holy Spirit is the truth, and the Word of God is truth. Every word of it, it's the truth. How about this? To help us, I like to think about these things in practical terms, in practical ways. How about this, you and I? What if we leaned less on other people's opinions during the year and instead we turned to the absolute rock solid truth of God and His Word. Less on people's opinions, more on God and His opinion. Whatever is true, whatever is honorable. If truth is misunderstood today, what about honor? Honor seemed to be sadly lacking in so many places. Boy, we could get started down a deep rabbit hole with that one. But honor certainly seems lost today, and I think very sadly, boy, my dad instilled in us honor. Be a man of your word, truth, and boy, honesty and hard work. You and I are to fill our minds with and ponder the idea of things that are honorable. Think about this, worthy of respect. Things that are worthy of respect and awe and adoration, or how about even admiration? Admiration for others, awe and respect and honesty and truth. He says, whatever is just, whew, God is a God of justice. Justice is a good thing. Although for those that are still wrong with God, it can be a very, very intimidating thing, a life-changing thing. God's justice is right. It's true and righteous. God is just and holy and righteous. Think about justice as God's standard of perfection. God's perfect standard of holiness and righteousness. Things that are right, truth and honorable and just. How about this? He says, whatever is pure. Is it harder and harder to find things that are pure these days? I love that skiff of new snow when it covers up the dirty snow and makes everything look pure and white and beautiful and holy. Paul reminds us, believers, brothers and sisters, to dwell on things that are pure, morally clean, and undefiled, as hard as that may be today. He says, whatever is lovely, think about lovely as pleasing or amiable, kind and gracious and courteous and pleasant. Someone came up to me this morning and they said, my goal for this year is to be more kind and gracious to people. Great idea. Boy, I think Miss Carol was talking about that. Being kind and loving and gracious to others, whatever is lovely. Think about what the world would see if you and I dwelled on the things that were true and honorable and just and pure and lovely. Courteous and pleasant. Commendable, he says. Whatever is commendable, thought well of. The definition, thought well of, or reputable, or highly regarded, like kindness, and love, and courtesy, and graciousness, and respect, admiration, even adoration, and awe for all things that are right, and true, and good, and holy. And then Paul says, if there is any moral excellence, and if there's anything praiseworthy, he's saying, because of the moral excellence that we have in Jesus. Because of Jesus, life is praiseworthy. He says, dwell on all of these things. Think about this, moral excellence and praiseworthy is like the list, an entire list of Christ-like characteristics. Christ-like characteristics. Ponder, dwell on. The CSB says, dwell on these things. I like that idea of ponder. Ponder in our minds the things that are right and true and good and holy and pure. How about this? Ask yourself, again, not out loud, and don't do it right here, right now. But as you go home today, get quiet and alone with the Lord, or maybe even your loved one, and ask yourself, do I tend to think more and talk more about what's wrong with my family, my life, my job, my church, the world? Do I tend to think more and talk more about what's wrong with those things, or what's right about them, what's good and honorable and pure and undefiled and just? And then if that's you, you can look in the mirror. And if that's your spouse or your loved one or whatever that's having trouble with pessimism or negativity or whatever, tell them to stop their stinking thinking. Stop your stinking thinking. Isn't that a good term? The stinking thinking, it just leads to stinking thinking. Maybe you have to look in the mirror and say, man, stop. Because Christ is not honored in those thoughts. And look at what God's word clearly tells me that I'm supposed to be thinking about. So just truly carve out some time and ask yourself, ask ourselves, ask myself, gosh, God, do I spend more time thinking about what's good and right and pure or what's wrong with all the other people? A healthy soul, peace that surpasses our understanding starts with what we fill our minds with. Starts with what we fill our minds with, but then it carries over into our actions because our bodies and what we do are also so important and so much a vital part of this idea. Look at verse 9. He says, do then. So dwell on those other things. Now he switches gears. Verse 9, do. Do what you have learned and received and heard from me and seen in me. Follow my example. Do these different things. Put into practice. Dwell on, meditate, ponder those things, and then practice these other things. Practice the things that you have observed in me. My grandma would say that idle hands are the devil's workshop. Have you heard that one? Idle hands are the devil's workshop. And man, is that true. I've got an interesting story. Boy, I could go down and tell you a whole farm story. A couple of mules that pulled a plow. Good working mules, like old school working mules. And they were amazing animals at their job. However, when they stopped, if they just simply stood there and were left alone, next thing one would reach over and bite the other one. And then he would jump up and kick the other one, who would then kick and bite, and then they would start to fight. But as soon as they said, yeah, and take off, man, pulling together, working together as a team, plow up a field, no problem. It was when they were stopped and idle that suddenly they started turning on each other because they had all this energy and they didn't know what to do with it. Idle hands are the devil's workshop. It's so important for you and I not to just simply learn about God, to learn about Jesus, to go to classes and study and different things, but to actually do the things that we've learned, to obey. Jesus said, go out and make disciples and teach them to obey everything that I have commanded. It's so important for you and I not just to simply ponder and learn, but also to put into practice those things that we have learned. Paul says, do what you have learned and received and heard from me and even seen in me. What Paul's saying is follow me. Follow after me. Do what I've done. Follow my example. Now today with social media, boy, do we have a lot of options for following people. You can follow them on Twitter and Instagram and Facebook and whatever. We have lots of options available to each of us in order to who it is that we want to follow. Maybe you're following some folks. Maybe some folks are following after you. Paul's saying, follow me. Follow after my godly, biblical, Christ-like example because I'm following Jesus with everything I've got. So now you can follow after me. Fill your mind with good things, true and honorable and pure and just and all of those things, but then follow my example. Do this way. Well, to follow is exactly, it's the definition of what a disciple is. A disciple is a follower of, and in this case, follower of Jesus. Following the King of all kings. And so the challenge not only is to sit down, get quiet, and ask yourself, am I more positive or more negative? Am I optimistic or pessimistic? Quick joke. Glass half full or half empty? Optimistic or pessimistic view. I was told an engineer would look at it as too much glass. You need to make the glass half smaller, and then it'd be just exactly right. I thought that was kind of funny. But as we think about, am I an optimist or a pessimist? Am I negative or positive? Take a hard look also at your life and think, who am I modeling it after? Who am I following? Can other people see the person that I'm following in my life? Is it good? Is it godly? Is it a character on TV or a movie? Or is it the King of all kings? Who is it that you're following? And then another question that each of us need to ask as we dawn this brand new year and think about peace in our life and what may be robbing us of peace is look at our relationships. Look at those people around us. Are the relationships drawing us away from Jesus? Or are our relationships making us more like Jesus? Several different questions that we need to ask. And Paul makes an incredibly bold statement. Maybe the goal would be for each of us to be able to make that same statement, if not today, mid-year, or by the end of the year. Man, kids, follow me, follow my example, because I'm lusting after Jesus with all my heart. I'm loving him and loving the world. Follow me. Follow after me. Look at my example. Boy, think about this. Investing our time, we're given so many hours a day, so many hours a week, so many days in our life. What about investing our time in our relationship with Jesus above all things? Thinking about what's true and right and good and honorable. Follow Jesus, him, more than anything else that we do. And then put into practice the things that the Spirit grows within us, the things that we discover hidden and buried in God's Word. Put into practice, actually live those things out, ponder, and practice. Let me tell you, a healthy mind and a healthy body definitely lead to a healthy soul. Pondering and practicing preserves, protects, and promotes peace within our lives. Paul says, do what you have learned and received and heard and from me and seen in me. And then he says, what happens when we do this? He says, the God of peace then will be with you. Last week we discovered that the peace of God would be with us. Now we learn that the God of peace will also be with us. Think about that. That God, the God of peace, will be with you. Here's, I think, the key. For you and I, living a life full of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness and goodness and faithfulness and self-control allows the God of peace to overwhelm us. The God of peace to overwhelm and live in us and through us and around us and for others to observe this peace of God and this God of peace who's in us and through us as we ponder and put into practice godly things. Pondering and practicing what's good and right and holy opens up our lives to this God of peace that is waiting so gently and patiently to do in us above and beyond what we can ever fathom or even think about. The challenge for each of us this year is to follow this predictable pattern, to ponder and put into practice the things that produce, preserve, promote, protect peace in our lives. Shalom. Pray with me. Father, we thank you that you are a God that doesn't simply abandon us, but you are waiting with open arms for us to turn to you or back to you. And Lord, I know the day we live in seems dark and negative and overwhelming, but Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus that you, through the power of your Holy Spirit, open up each of our hearts and our minds to better ponder and dwell on the things that are good and right and pure, and to be an optimist, someone that's positive, and that we model our lives after Jesus. That others see you and your greatness and your power. Lord, may we lead people to you by our attitudes, by our hearts and our minds and our soul, and by the peace that you give us that goes beyond our understanding. And as we live in a day when people are hungry for authentic and true relationships and truly desiring peace, may they find it through us in you. Boy, that you are richly glorified. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.